This is an
ENN
special report. Now reporting.
I'm your big daddy, and I want to be referred to as such.
When the clock struck six, it meant one thing.
It's not fair.
I'm an Andrew Gunling fan.
Just take the L.
Now, from the ESPN New York news desk, here's Andrew Gunling.
You couldn't possibly understand the hurt.
That's right. Andrew Gunling filling in for Peter Rosenberg here on ENN tonight. Very excited about it. Don, what's up? How are you?
You got me off the tidy whities, Michael. It was because of you.
And Bart Scott, how are you?
I can't
you
think
give
of
him
his
to
name.
You want to follow me? You want to follow me? I'll help you. We teammates. I help you.
No, you're Larry, actually the complete opposite of teammates.
Yeah, Larry Brown. Larry Brown. I got it. So go with the other two.
He could have either like thrown a hint. He could have said, has the same name as a former NBA coach. Mm-hmm. No, he just gave me the answer.
Maybe I could have said he stole money from the Oakland Raiders.
That's true.
That's true, yeah. Whatever it was an unprecedented moment in the history of Last One Standing.
It's a perfect example of being a good teammate.
I wanted to leave an impression, you know what I mean?
You
know, I
want
to come
did.
To show and be a first, you know what I mean?
You
I want to be the first of something.
I would actually argue that the other side of it, that it's an example of being a terrible teammate, because I view this as, let's say Bart was lining up for the Jets at linebacker, and he starts yelling to the quarterback, no, we're running a corner blitz here, so you want to make sure you have that guy covered on the outside. Like, he's literally helping the opponent in a situation where he's supposed to be competing against him.
Well, when you want to try and be the best that you can be, you kind of want to give the other side an advantage and see if you can live up to being, you know, giving a mulligan. You want to give him a mulligan and see if you can overcome the odds. Sometimes the ball don't go your way.
Now, hey, Damian Woody, who was one of the answers to the questions today, told me that you guys ran the ball so well those 2 years you went to the championship game. He used to tell the defensive end, we're running through me. We're running the ball left.
Absolutely. The old Terminator. If you can hit it, you can rename it.
Yeah, that's right. Let's see. Tonight's ENN on 98.7 ESPN is brought to you by Geico. The real value in car insurance isn't how much you save. It's also the kind of service you get. Good thing Geico's been perfecting both for over 75 years. All right, we start tonight. Yankees and Phillies getting underway, actually right about now.
Yep, they are underway.
Yeah, and you know what this signifies tonight?
What does it signify tonight? It's Monday. It's 3 days before we start for real.
Think of the Yankees' opponent.
Girardi.
There you go. Joe Girardi's return to Yankee Stadium.
Not just Joe, Didi as well.
Didi Gregorius as well, both coming back tonight with the Phillies. I guess it's kind of sad with no fans in the stands, as both of those guys surely would have gotten big ovations. They were both.
Oh, would they? Joe?
Definitely.
Yeah, no, I don't doubt it. I don't doubt it, but you don't think that's fraudville?
Yeah.
The way that they abused Joe Girardi when he was the manager here. All of the phone calls we got, the guy's a bum. Get rid of him. He's not Joe Torre. How dare he miss the playoffs? He doesn't know what he's doing. Call after call after call. I don't think Michael and I, Bart, defended an individual more the time we've been together than Joe Girardi. And those frauds would have given him a standing ovation? Come on, Andrew.
They would have.
Right, but at least admit it would be fraudville.
So I don't know if our callers are a fair gauge for how the majority of the fan base felt about Joe Girardi. I mean, we would take, you know, things that most callers that most Yankees fans probably didn't really feel that negatively about Girardi. We'd have callers who would get on him about not using a certain pinch runner in like a mid-July game, like things that most normal, well-adjusted human beings don't really pay much attention to. So he's one of the Yankees have won 27 championships. He's one of only 9 Yankee managers to win one. He is a part of Yankee history. And you're right. Like, I was here for all those calls. They certainly happened. You're not making it up. But he 100% would have gotten an ovation from the crowd.
So
I really believe that.
I don't doubt that he would have. And I'm not saying that all of them would have been frauds. But to reverse your point, there'd be a bunch of them that'd be in that building that sat on hold for an hour to rip them. And all of a sudden get teary-eyed, remembering the good old days. Mm-hmm. And, boy, it's – listen, part of being a fan, I think, is to have a little fraud in you for those situations. So I'll give him that. But, God, that guy – Bart, you have no idea
I do, because I was listening to the show, Don. I heard all the calls. I know exactly what the hell you're talking about. I have some absurd Yankee fans in my neighborhood, and they were echoing it. He was underappreciated, and as soon as Boone wins the championship, they won't even mention him anymore. And if I was Didi, I wouldn't even want to come back, because y'all could have brought me back. Y'all brought Gardy back. You could have got more out of me than Gardy, and yet you're just going to throw me out? I'm the one that had to replace the legend. You going to disrespect me like that? I have to go sign a 1 year with the Phillies? Come on, man. I don't want no parts of y'all either. Don't clap for me either.
I don't know if the fans are the ones that made that decision, Bart.
They didn't make outrage.
It's not what you want to see.
Oh, classic Joe.
Listen, you can call me biased. Yes, I am. I thought Joe was a terrific manager, and I put my money where my mouth is when I said I wanted him to be the manager of the Mets, and I was very disappointed. Not only did he not go to the Mets, but he went to a division rival. And Didi, listen, I'll let you guys up. You abused him like no other when he first got here, but you eventually came around. But no doubt there would be a standing ovation, but boy, there'd be a lot of frauds out there standing up cheering.
You are right about that, 100%. Girardi spoke about some of the, the toned-down return because there are no fans there. He said sometimes as much as it's really appreciated, it's uncomfortable because you don't really know how to act when you get a standing ovation in the opposing stadium. I think in a lot of ways it's really nice, and I do get a lot of cheers when we played the Yankees in spring training in Florida, but it's a little uncomfortable because you don't know how to act. So I guess Girardi is okay with the situation tonight and there not being fans there. But I think he's an emotional guy, though.
He's lying. Newsflash.
Yeah, who doesn't like to be in a stadium of 60,000 people standing and applauding for
him? Wants to be appreciated for all that he did for 10 years. He wants that. Don't give me that, Joe. Do something that's hard for you, Joe. Crack a smile.
You know what it is? No. What it is that scene in A League of Their Own. Remember when Jimmy Dugan's got to tip his hat to the fans and he's talking under his breath?
Exactly.
That's what he's been doing. He just went out, tipped his cap, and others were like, "Oh, you guys sat on hold, ripping me in the morning."
Yes,
you're
right. He'd be doing it through like clenched teeth. You're 100% right. Joe did speak this past week about some of his memories with the Yankees.
I mean, I have, 14 really, 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 15 really fine years of being here, whether I was a player, a coach, or a manager. And they were the great days and a great part of my life. So there's really a lot of fond memories.
Yep. So Joe Girardi and Didi Gregorius back in the Bronx tonight. By the way, Yankees National is going to be on ESPN, ESPN Radio as well this coming Thursday. Do you know who's going to be throwing out the first pitch for that game, the season opener on Thursday?
Let me think here. All right.
If you need to phone a friend, I already got this one, Don. If you want to phone a friend, we want to work on this together.
This is clearly Jeopardy music, and Jeopardy does not have that.
So, okay, that's true. That's true.
I will give you a clue.
Dusty Rowell or Ouchie?
Does that help, Don?
What did he say? Bart?
I went to my Urban Dictionary and I said, "Ouchie."
Rhymes with. It's somebody who was on our show.
Oh, Dr. Fauci.
That's right. He's from New York, but he's actually a renowned Nationals fan from his time living in Washington. I've seen him with a Nationals mask on during this. So yeah, he'll be in D.C. throwing out the first pitch this Thursday night for Yankees Nats. Let's see here. Some football. I think we pretty much all knew that this was coming, but today it became official. The Jets and Giants announced that they will not have fans at home games this season. However, they did put in the caveat of until further notice. So they do leave themselves some wiggle room should, things develop differently from how they currently are. The Jets and Giants say the decision to not have fans, at least for now, was reached after discussions with Governor Murphy, with the health and safety of fans, players, and staff being considered. So I'm an Eagles fan, and this was announced for them 2 weeks ago. It's kind of it's coming, but it's still – football is such a part of a fan's life. It's still just like a weird thing to hear that there just won't be fans at home games.
It's so funny, though. I don't know why this bothers me as much as it does. the after discussions with Governor Murphy. You know, Governor Murphy says no, and then you go, okay, we won't have fans. I mean, what are you negotiating with the virus now? I mean, he's the governor. The governor says no. I mean, it's like the NFL just feels like they don't like to be told no, do they? Like, they want to feel like it was their idea when they are told no. Like, I really do believe that Roger Goodell called God the day before the Super Bowl in New York and said, can you make it 70 degrees? And God said, sure, but unfortunately we're going to get hammered with snow after that. And Goodell's like, I don't care. I'm not going to be in New York that week anyway. And it happened. Like, I really, Bart, am I wrong? Like, they walk around like, oh, the virus? We'll talk. We'll have a conversation with the virus come opening day, and it'll go away.
Yeah, God was mad at him because he didn't keep his promise for the Dallas Super Bowl. And he said, yeah, it'll make you ice skate in Dallas with this one.
That's right, when they had Emmitt Smith in charge of the roads. I'll never forget being in Dallas for the Super Bowl. I think, Andrew, you were with us, right?
I was not, but I've heard the stories.
Because it's – there were, it wasn't that bad, but for Dallas, it was like, oh, my God.
Throw some sand out here.
There were so many businesses in Dallas. I felt so bad because they had like parking lots with tents and everything. Like, they were expecting like mobs of people, and it was a ghost town because nobody wanted to go out because it was freezing rain and all that. And we were driving to some place and getting back to the hotel, and we were at a red light, and there was like a little bit of ice in the corner of the intersection, and there must have been like a half a dozen people like staring at the ice. Like, I don't know what do you do? Do you shovel it? They were confused. It was, I never saw a city so paralyzed by very, very little.
Well, at least nobody put out table saw because they would look even dumb with that one.
Let's see. In addition to the Jets and Giants, Raiders owner Mark Davis, he spoke to ESPN's Paul Gutierrez about what his team's going to do. He said this. He said, "No one fan is more important to me than another. They're all Raider fans to me. My mindset today is no fans should attend games. I don't even know if it's safe to play." It's kind of surprising to hear an owner say that.
Yeah, especially an owner that looks in the mirror every day and goes, "This is the way I want my hair to be." And he still believes
the chili
that this isn't a good idea.
Yeah,
he believes that because Vegas, man, he don't care about people in Vegas. Half the people, I'm so intrigued to see what that's going to be all about. I mean, that stadium looks amazing, but you know, half the people there are going to be fans that's not even from there. They just want to see a good show.
Well, I'll tell you, we can only go by the Golden Knights in the NHL, and I did a game there, and I obviously followed their first couple of years. The fans are completely engaged. Now, I didn't take a poll. Are they all from Vegas? Are they tourists? Whatever. But the building's packed. They're totally into it. And I think there are so many Raider fans around the country. I think it's going to be it's going to be amazing there. I really think the atmosphere is going to be way better than it was in Oakland the last decade.
I mean, that's going to be the greatest place to go. Just think, you can go there, see a fight, take in all the shows, gamble, party, pool party, and then go to the game. And what if the game is on Monday night? That means you get to hang out even longer. I mean, you got to have like a 5-day weekend.
It is true that for visiting fans, would you say now, if you're power ranking destination road trips to go see your team play, does Vegas now jump? What would the previous number one be? Miami?
Yeah, Miami.
Is Vegas now like the number one
Vegas
destination
number
if
one.
You find out? Yeah.
It's not even close, because guess what? I mean, because now that means you can go to MGM pool party on Sundays. So now you're good, because then Monday night is a game, man. I mean, it don't get any better than that, man.
Yep, I know.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
So while Mark Davis is saying he doesn't know if they should have fans or even be playing, and the Jets and Giants are saying they're not going to have fans, college football is just like, whatever. They're going to keep going with this. University of Texas says that it not only anticipates hosting football games this season, but they plan on doing so at 50% capacity in the stands. Texas Royal Memorial Stadium holds about 100,000. Although that figure is going to be a little bit reduced this season because part of the stadium is undergoing renovation. So let's say it was like 90,000. You're still talking about somewhere around 40 to 45,000 people that they're going to be planning on having in there for college football games this fall. I am not quite as certain that that will be happening, but that's Texas's plan right now.
I hope they're right,
man. The
South
is different. The South is different.
But like I said, as much as we are like scratching our head when you see the numbers spiking and yet they seem to like be just going forward as business as usual, I hope they're right. I want them to be right.
Oh, yeah, of course.
But I just have a feeling that they're not going to be right. And Bart said, that's a great point from Bart about, you know, all right, so you're going to have half capacity, but you're still going to have staff and security. The police department's still going to have to be there. You know, so you're talking about a lot of people in one place.
I had Paul Feinbaum on my show about 2 weeks ago or 3 weeks ago, and he was talking about he had people calling his show saying they'll sign waivers. They don't care. It's football and life. Football is life down there. I don't know. They can keep that one. I'm stay away from that one.
Yeah. Well, it's funny because during the pandemic, there's been questions about fans' desire to see sports return. Like, are fans just not in the mood with the pandemic going on? Would there be people that just kind of found that they can maybe live without it? Well, ESPN just conducted its second coronavirus lockdown fan study during the pandemic, where they surveyed just over 1,000 sports fans age 18 and older and found that 78% were in favor of sports resuming play despite restrictions on fan attendance. This was a double-digit increase from the previous poll that they conducted in mid-April. So I guess as this has gone on without sports, fans have been craving it more and more, is what this poll would tell you, which is, to me, is not surprising. I'm almost surprised
parties.
The numbers.
They're having corona parties to get it so they can have herd immunity so they can go to the game. It's crazy down there, man. It's a totally different world down there, man.
I know.
Stay above the Mason-Dixon line.
So everybody's curious about the ways in which the lack of a crowd are going to impact the games. Some guys, I found this interesting because some guys may be a little more loose knowing fans won't get on them. Some people feel like momentum may not be as big of a thing in sporting events now. But Steven Adams of the Oklahoma City Thunder, he has a thought on one area where you will see an impact. He said this. He said you might see an uptick in more technical fouls because the referees can hear what players are saying. Because you see, we like to talk behind their backs, but they can actually hear us now. So there's going to be a lot more tease. That should be the only real difference.
I can see that.
I could see that being true. Although I've got to say, I'm kind of more interested in the other side of this. Like, we all know that players and coaches are at times disrespectful to officials, but I'm kind of interested to see if we'll be able to hear what the officials are now saying back to the players. Like, Bart, you played. Is that a thing that, like, the fans get mad at their players when they see them kind of like screaming at an official that, you know, it looks bad for that player? But what do officials say to players? Is the disrespect equal both ways?
Well, I got one suspended for 5 games, and I could never do anything at the game ever again because he was just waiting for an opportunity to get retribution against me. Remember the Can't Wait game? In the Monday night game, I threw the flag in the stands and got suspended. Yeah. Yeah. So, like, that referee got suspended for 5 games because he was talking down to us. What happened is Samari Rowe and all the guys was like, man, what are you doing? Like, ain't nobody here to see you. Like, you ain't ever. And we didn't know that he used to play. He was on like 35 teams in 1 year. And, like, so he took offense to that and he just started talking reckless to everybody. And it was an old black dude, man. I can never ever say anything ever for the rest of my career. And I had like maybe 6 more years ago, and I got caught up, man. Refs can be reckless sometimes too, but the coaches give it to them way worse than we do.
And I don't know if you're going to have this in ENN, so I apologize if you do.
No, go for it.
But I saw this a couple of minutes ago. John Shannon from Sportsnet said that the raw feed that the announcers will work with for the NHL postseason coming up is going to be on a 5-second delay so that they can dump any swear words that are heard on the microphone. I'm wondering if other sports are going to, you know, do the same thing for just like what you said. Like, will they want to protect umpires and players for saying certain things? Because let's face it, it's going to be a lot. You're going to hear some stuff, man, that I'm sure Bart would not be sensitive to your ears because you played, but
they're missing out, though, Don. They're missing out because, remember, people love The Last Dance because they had the cussing and stuff on it. So I think you can air one side that's P PG-13, and you can do one that's rated R.
Yeah, but
and
that's one thing for F words and S words and stuff. But there might be some stuff that's said.
Oh yeah, that is true. Yeah, that's true. I did say some things that. Yeah, you're right.
So I can tell you, Don, as the show's resident soccer viewer. I can tell you that MLS's tournament that they're in the midst of right now, they have also been doing that. There's mics planted all around the field. So, like, the audio access is supposed to kind of be almost unprecedented in what you can hear because there's no fans and there's more microphones. And they've been on a delay. So there are clear moments when you can see them kind of, like, dropping out of what someone is saying because they want to be careful of what does and doesn't get over TV.
Well,
but there have been times, though, words have gotten through, though, that they – probably would not have wanted to.
Yeah, and if I'm the Players Association, I might want there to be some sort of a delay.
Yeah, I would agree, because you don't want, I hate to bring this up, but like, think of what happened to poor Sam Darnold last year, and that wasn't even a live mic. That was the against the Patriots with the Seeing Ghosts
right.
game. Like, you don't need these guys like saying something that kind of makes it over the airwaves that will make them look bad, even though it's kind of what the fans almost want to hear is just like the raw, unfiltered access. But you're right. Why would players want to open themselves up to that? Let's see a couple more here real quick. Kind of a strange weekend for Domingo Germán of the Yankees. So I don't know if you guys saw, but over the weekend he posted on Instagram the following message, part of the following message, which was translated from Spanish to English. And in it, he said, "Some people make history on both sides. I think I did my part at Yankee Stadium. If I decide not to come back, I will be very proud of my 11-year professional career. God bless everyone who has supported me." And then in a separate, he also wrote in Spanish, "I've left baseball. Thanks, everyone." There was clear uncertainty over whether or not he had kind of in like a cryptic way announced his retirement. But then the following day, he posted a new message saying, "To my teammates, the Yankees organization, and our fans, I'm very sorry for the unsettling post last night. This past year has been very tough for my family and myself, for which I take full responsibility. Not being with my teammates while they get ready for the season, knowing I have let them down, has taken a toll on me. And last night, I let my emotions get the best of me. Baseball is my life, and I promise I'm not walking away." He, of course, is still serving a suspension for domestic violence.
Between him and Antonio Brown, man, I just can't. They're exhausting. What happened was he thought about he was in his feelings. Then he looked at his bank account and was like, "Oh no, I can't walk away from that. I ain't made no cheese yet." And when do we start talking? When do we start counting 11 years? Like, when do we start counting the years where you weren't getting paid an MLB check? That's like me counting my Little League years, right?
It's funny you say that, Bart. I thought the same thing. When I saw 11 years, I thought, what? So I looked. He's 27, so I guess he's counting.
Yeah, that don't count, bro. You take that back. Now you're inflating your numbers again. So now you're a liar. Oh. Just shut up. Just go away.
So what is he counting, Andrew? The minors? Or
I mean, at 16, I don't know where he was. You're not in the minors at age 16.
Well, did he sign
Dominican
on, like, as a 16-year-old?
He must have. I'd have to look it up.
So he's probably just counting the day that he signed on. I guess he was with the Yankees. So I guess he's just counting the time when he signed the contract.
Come on back, son. Get out your feelings. Get this cheddar cheese, man.
No, I can. I think there's a. I think certainly players, like international players, they think of the day that they signed their first contract, even if they didn't come to the States right away, didn't play even for the minor league affiliate, that when they became part of that like team, the organization inked them to a contract. I could see them counting.
Okay, I got you. All right, just like Drew Henson, you know, when he got drafted by the Yankees, saying that he was a professional, even though he went to college. I guess it counts.
And by the way, Bart, we should mention, because you mentioned Antonio Brown there too. So he posted on Twitter today, I mean, I don't know how else to put it other than to say he kind of said he's retiring in a series of messages, one of which was, "We'll not be playing in the NFL anymore. These owners can cancel deals, do whatever they want at any time. We will see if the NFLPA holds them accountable. Sad they can just void guarantees anytime." And he posted a few other messages as well that kind of made it sound like he was going to retire. But at this point, it sounds like he has not filed any paperwork or anything like that. So right now, that's it's kind of just hanging out there without any real official word that he's finished as an NFL player.
Well, we know that was to Robert Kraft, where he's trying to get his guaranteed money that he's trying to get out, and he's saying to see if the NFLPA is going to do their part. But, dude, man, like he did this whole thing where he got married to the woman that he was accused of having the domestic violence from and did all that stuff to try and rebrand his image and working out, and now you want to throw all that away? Like, I mean, like between like him and Kanye too, man. Like, I'm done with them, man. Like, I can't. It's too much, man. It's physically, it's emotionally exhausting to follow his Twitter feed, to follow his Instagram, man, because you don't know who the hell you're getting when he wake up.
Yep. Well, and then last one here for you. No. Well, I saw whatever. I'm not going to go too deep into that one. But last one, guys, I saw on this day in 1976. I'll just tell you because I don't think this is guessable. Oh, Hank Aaron.
Oh. His last home run?
There you go. Yeah. His 755th career home run playing for the Milwaukee Brewers. I wonder if that, like, these numbers now kind of just, we've talked about how records in baseball just don't really mean what they used to. Sadly, people, like, that number has kind of been dragged down with it, no? Like, the no one's going to view that as still the true home run number after Barry Bonds cleared it. I guess Bonds just kind of destroyed the entire thing.
I it depends on how you feel. Like, there are a lot of people that still think 61's the number because of Roger Maris. Some people believe Hank Aaron's still the guy, but, you know, you go to certain places and then listen, he's hit the most home runs. It's weird. It just, I don't think people care anymore because unless you were alive to experience it, you probably don't feel an emotional attachment to it. Right. I was not alive for Maris's 61. I was 8 when Hank Aaron. So I remember him when he broke the record was 74. So I was 6 when he hit his last home run and that became the number. You know, I remember it kind of. But am I emotionally attached to it the way somebody who might have been like 20 or 30 years old would? I don't know. Roy's just confused the heck out of me, man. I don't know.
I know.
There's so many people that don't care. Bart, do you care?
I think that football gets a pass, but I think that baseball, I think they really truly care because they hold their records more precious.
You think it's Aaron or Bonds? Like, are you emotional enough to say, I can't acknowledge Bonds as the home run king?
See, it's not true because we know pitchers were taking steroids as well. So it's like, it's tough, man. It's like, it's tough. It's almost like, you know, I know I played against players that was using steroids, and it's like one of those things that are, you don't know how to feel. You know, it's like, you know, you hear Andy Pettit talking about, you know, he was using it. So, okay, like, who had the advantage? Did the players have the advantage? Did the hitter or did the pitcher? And you don't know how widespread it was. I want to see how some of these records from these juiced up baseballs. I know something got to be going on. They gave the baseball steroids. If Brett Gardner, this late in his career, is hitting that many damn home runs after August.
Yeah. No, you're absolutely right. That is ENN for tonight. Thank you, Don. Thank you, Bart.
Thanks for listening to the Michael K. Show podcast. Hear more of Michael, Don, and Peter live weekday afternoon starting at 3 on 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN app, the TuneIn app, or on your smart speaker.
Hey, Alexa, play 98.7 ESPN.